Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Enjoyed the beautiful day that today was. Enjoyed the rain over the weekend. A lot of people were looking forward to the rain. I have to say, yards for one. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. The Facebook page is at 1700 The Champ as well. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. Big week this week. So I'm in here today. Tomorrow, Scott's in here with us. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. He's in here. Have guests coming in tomorrow. A couple of guests from Broadlawn's marketing department. One none other than Melissa Merrifield and Nate Steenblok, who is a marketing assistant at Broadlawn's for his post-Iowa State day. So looking forward to having those two in and telling us all about what's going on at Broadlawn's. Wednesday, we'll have Randy Wehofer in. And it will kind of just depend on what, if he wants to come 4 to 5 or 5 to 6. We've been giving him that option. Gets him home at a better time. And then Thursday, we are doing our show live at the fair. And we're also scheduled for the following Tuesday and Thursday as well. So hopefully y'all can get out there and see us. On the west side of the admin building, right by the gizmo trailer and right by the restrooms and right by first aid. That's where we will be at the Cumulus Studios there. So come check us out. But so Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday is the plan. We'll see how that goes and we'll go from there. But glad to be back in here. Glad to have you listening. A lot of stuff to talk about. First thing I need to talk about is our sponsors of the show. It's Northwest Bank, it's Woodman Controls, and it's Heritage Building Maintenance. We'll talk more about them as we move along. Also, had a lot of feedback on the Chicago Cubs, the curated history of the Northsiders, the franchise, Bruce Miles and Jesse Rogers. Probably was the biggest. We had some good download numbers on that and a lot of excitement. So looking forward to maybe talking a little bit more about that. It's easier to talk about that with Scott. He's a huge Cubby fan, so it's more fun. I do know that Scott was doing a good job today getting Brooks Reynolds and having some lobster. Are you kidding me? So excited to get to the state fair. So I'm for sure, and I do believe my wife is exactly the same. We are state fair groupies. I've been going to the state fair pictures. I looked at pictures, I don't know, a while ago. I was 5 or 6, totally different fairgrounds. But I just love those 10 days or 12 days, however many days it is. It's a lot of fun and hoping to go out there as many as we can. So, for sure, I know that, we're going Thursday because we're going to be out there. We're going Friday. It's the first Friday of the fair. We're going to go Tuesday, Thursday for sure. We will go that following Friday for sure. And then we always like to go on Sunday. We're looking for the bestest day to take Nana out to the fair. So we are really looking forward to doing that as well. So get ready for that. And here's the crazy thing about the time we're in. Anastasia, one of my nieces, is heading up to Ames today. They have her sorority is starting Rush. My nephew Cale goes, I think, this coming Sunday. We're that close, folks. The fair gets done, school starts, and man, we're into college football already. So a lot of things happening. We'll keep you up to date. You know, we did a thing for Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw coming in March. all the bands that are at the fairgrounds. I was going to check and see if we had somebody from the other side of the hall here that wanted to come in and talk about that at some point this week. We may have them come in and do that as well. But with all that being said, I still believe the biggest story in sports, I guess there's two, and let's give one because one doesn't get very much love, and this one particularly probably has some renewing to do. U.S. Women's National Team soccer team has been an iconic group for, let's say, the last 10 years, maybe a little more than that, but right in that, 10 to 15 years. I think the reason women's national teams across the world are where they're at right now was because of the U.S. Women's National Team. Mia Hamm, Carly Lloyd, I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and on. And I think what happened in this past few days, few weeks of leading up to and participating, I think if you look at it, I think age has caught up with them. I think complacency has caught up with them. What's the word I'm looking for? Creativity has caught up with them, and maybe just pure athletic ability. So everybody else watched what they did, all the other countries, and they put all that into play. And I don't think we put it in play as much as we had when we first started out. I think it was a grandeur of excellence, thinking that it's just always, whenever we want to click that switch, we can click that switch. It doesn't happen once you get past the age of 30. It's not as easy to do. That's in all sports. Very seldom do you have someone who excels even more after the age 30. Not that you drop as much, but there's a drop. And that's a very, very tough game to play. You have to be in great shape. You have to buy in. You have to buy into coaching. You have to do all that. And I think that I think that might have been a place. I don't think there was the connectivity with the coaching staffs as much as it had been in the past, or it just got to a point where, you know, you've been doing it for as long as they've been doing it. It's hard to teach in, you know, old tricks, trying to get new tricks. You know, hey, we need to do that. No, we don't. We just need to do what we've been doing. What we've been doing is winning. And the lowest scoring total that they've ever had, defensive breakdowns at inopportune times. And man, were we bad at penalty kicks? Bad. So, you know, that is, you know, it's one of those things, and it happens, and now you have to see what happens. Is it time to tear it down and redo? Do you replace some of the upper management people in the national teams? And the exact opposite is happening on the men's side. Soccer is the most popular sport in the rest of the country, but not in this country. And there's too many other things that people do. You have baseball, you have basketball, you have hockey, you have football. Soccer comes in, well, probably even below, because I think golf is probably way more popular in this country than it is than soccer. And I think maybe 10 years ago, the United States national team and all that being out there, I think it rises to being the most popular sport. The U.S. national women's team is far more popular than any WNBA team. That's it, you know. And we still don't. I still don't think you have enough people taking that torch and moving it down the line. Maybe I'm wrong. I think we have to get I think we have to get quicker. I think we have to defend better. And we have to take the game seriously. And there were times, and a lot of people complaining, at times it didn't look like our hearts and our heads were in playing. Just missed opportunities and missed penalty kicks and missed all of that. And you can't, everybody wants to beat you because that's all you did was beat people up. You have to have that same type of energy. And I don't think they had that same type of energy at any point in time during this whole tournament. They were lucky they made it to the round of 16. And that's the earliest that they've ever been knocked out. And, you know, you have to start over. And we'll have to see where we're at. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that maybe later in the show. I'm going to take a segment and I'm going to talk about some of the things that are happening in NCAA, in football, and in conferences, and all of that. But before I do that, I'm gonna do a little background with everybody. There was a lot of uprising over the last 5 days about how this was happening to the Pac-12 and how could teams be doing this to the Pac-12 and what's going on and all of that. And, you know, how can these conferences think that they can do stuff like that? I didn't see the same outrage when the SEC came and picked off Oklahoma and Texas, who were the two cornerstones for the Big 12. I didn't see that. I didn't even see that in the Pac-12 when the Big 10 came in and poached USC and UCLA. Now, I think there's two different reasons for the two different things that happen. The first reason for the SEC just thinks they're better than everybody, and they have a pretty big television network that seems to believe that same thing. And so people just start believing that. I mean, I've heard that all day long. Well, all the power is in the SEC. Well, and oh, let me take that one step back. All the power and all the money are in the SEC with these television contracts. I don't think the SEC television contract is as big as the Big Ten's football contract. If somebody can tell me differently, I'll listen. If they at worst they're tied, I think the Big Ten in different shades of money had a little bit better deal, but. When you have a certain network that has the ability to use that phrase, well, the SEC network is the grand network or the grand conference. I see I even get it mixed up with their network, that four-letter network. And people just blindly start believing that. And the reason that I struggle and I struggle a lot with all the stuff that's going on right now. And I'm not struggling because of movement, because now I think you have a clear movement. I think you have a movement that if you listen to the network executives and what they push down, this is all going to lead to a two-team league, and you're going to have to fight to be one of 30, 32, 38 teams to get in these two leagues. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the NCAA, and I'll get to that, that'll be in my next segment. I don't think they want to see it narrowed down to two 22 game or 22 team leagues. I think you're going to have three. I think you have a distinct three right now. And I think in my heart of hearts, and I think about this all the time, I don't think there's as big a deal, as big of gap in these conferences than what people think. And I'm just going to add this, and I'm going to add it right now, that if you take the SEC, now the SEC is adding Oklahoma and Texas, so, I mean, that that makes them incredibly tough, and I understand that. But I'm looking at when you're talking in football and on watching on TV or, you know, ratings and everything. Listen, I get you have Florida, you have Georgia, you have Alabama, you have Auburn, you have LSU. I'm all in. I used to be all in on Texas A&M. I'm not a big Jimbo Fisher fan. Once the game changed, he lost his way at Florida State. And as the game has changed, he's lost his way at Texas A&M. But you cannot tell me that Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Arkansas and Vanderbilt and Tennessee, to a certain extent, before where they are right now, South Carolina, Missouri, and Kentucky are any better or any worse than any of the teams in the Big 12, the bigger Big 12, or the Big 10. And if you take, and I don't know how you do this, because the only place that the four remaining, now there's things out there today that said that Cal and Stanford are asking, are trying, begging to get to the Big Ten, which matches their academic standards as well. I don't know why the Big Ten would do that. That doesn't help them on a competitive standpoint. It wouldn't be the two teams that I'd be trying to get. But there's just a lot of different things, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to have a little NCAA viewpoint of this as well, along with mine. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. It is happy. No. See, I get these mixed up even with Scott's not in here, and I'm staring at him. It's Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website's 1700thechamp.com. You also look up Steen on Sports. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You can look all of those up. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Member FDIC. Coming up on the Champ this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Twins, Tigers, all of them joined in progress. So as soon as I'm off the air, they are going to be jumping right into that huge, they're up 4.5 games, the Twins are, four game winning streak, and 4.5 game lead. It's looking good. You got to go in, you got to take care of the Tigers. They come home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're going to get the Friday, Saturday games, Twins and Phillies. And then Sunday is Chiefs Saints, first preseason game, 11 o'clock pregame there. And next Tuesday, Wednesday is the Tigers again, but they're in Minnesota. So they got a pretty good road trip, in Detroit, then in Philadelphia, then coming home and getting Detroit right back again. So once again, time to get ahead, do some damage, keep that lead up. Looking forward to that. We'll talk a little baseball here in these next couple of segments. Just to finish my thought on the SEC, and then we'll do the Big Ten and the Big 12 and see how the what the ACC is going to do. I feel bad for them as well as I felt bad for the Pac-12. Here's the reason and just completing this on the whole part of maneuverability of teams. When the SEC came in and took Oklahoma and took Texas, there was a point in time where you were looking at the Big 12 and the Pac 12 maybe merging, and to get them up to, I mean, a pretty big super conference. And the Pac 12 didn't think they needed to do that. And it was Larry Scott was the acting commissioner, and he made a mistake. And Gil Lakoff made another one, thinking that there was no way in the world. If you read some of the tea leaves that are out there, even leading up to knowing what his number was, knowing what the Big 12's number was, knowing what the Big 10's number was, knowing what the SEC's number were, at over $11 million away from the Big 12, which makes it even the numbers for the other two even more, he still thought he had a deal, even though after he finally dedicated and told everybody what the deal was and that it could enhance, all they have to do is stay together. There's a lot of people out there stating that as soon as that happened, everybody in the Pac-12 was out looking for places to go, because they knew it wasn't a good enough deal to keep them, and it wasn't a good enough deal to make other teams want to come there. And when you'd already lost one team, and even that deal, so you take a team away, and your deal got worse. That's oversight that you can't have. And, you know, the Big 12 with Brett Yormark, he had a plan. And he's got a lot of different plans. He has plans on making additional money. He sees revenue streams that other people either don't see or don't even want to consider. And he's willing to do stuff to make that grouping stay together and become stronger. And I think they're going to become stronger. Now, here's the thing that I'm not understanding through all of this. And you hear bits and pieces every once in a while. You hear the United States government, oh, we're going to hold hearings on NIL and transfer portal. Not even a word on having other conferences poach teams from other NCAA conferences. You know, we didn't go outside the box here and grab some NJIC team. We're individually contacting schools in a conference, in a National Collegiate Athletic Association conference, and asking them to leave their conference and come to another conference. And the NCAA said nothing. Did nothing. NIL. Only thing that you ever heard them say about NIL, name, image, and likeness, and the transfer portal, it'll never happen. We're never going to allow it to happen. We don't want to see it happen. It has no place in our organization. They were wrong. Well, changing conferences, we put these conferences in place. We went in our NCAA meetings. We put these conferences in place. No one can change these conferences. Nope. Done. Where's the NCAA at? The NCAA knows what kind of money's out there. It's not like the NCAA is broke. Before this money comes down to these other schools, it's going through the NCAA and they're taking their share. It went from the NCAA is out of sync, not understanding what its role is, to nothing. Randomly taking somebody who 5 years ago did something that you're not supposed to do that now happens every single day, and trying to punish their programs for what their coaches were doing. That was the thing that always irritated me about the NCAA. The basketball players came there to play basketball. How they were recruited, what they had to do to recruit, who they had to pay to get the recruit, how money, any of that. To the players, that's just these schools coming in and doing stuff to get me to come to their school. To the NCAA,
that should be a death penalty sentence for the schools that were caught doing it. Some did, some didn't. And those who did that people thought were going to get big time punishment, they took pain penalties, not losing games, not losing scholarships, not doing it. They had excess money because of TV contracts. We'll fine us. You know, we don't want to hurt the NCAA athlete. Just fine us and just let us be. The NCAA has no teeth unless it sinks the teeth into things that a majority of us that are standing back and looking at the organization and some of the things that they've gone after. You know, paying under the table, illegally recruiting, all those things. Man, front and center, we're going to put everybody out there. We're going to do all this. You have stuff that happened with Joe Paterno, because his coach, Jerry Sandusky, all the things that happened there, all the things that happened to the gymnast, all the things that we don't even know about, all the things that happened at Northwestern. Kids were hurt. Kids will never be the same. Schools had nothing. And if they did, all they had to do was keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, and just keep paying, and it'll go away. But the student athletes were punished. It's a corrupt system that doesn't work correctly. It's a money-grabbing way. It's almost like someone described it to me this weekend. The NCAA, when it comes to the NCAA basketball tournament, men and women, and NFL football bowl games and everything else, and now that four-team national championship coming up to a 12, it's a Ponzi scheme. A bunch of people paying money into it, paying a bunch of people off, but none of the payments are going to the student athletes that are doing all the work. You have coaches. Jimbo Fisher's making about $20 million a win right now at Texas A&M. And they're all up and down the board on what some of these college coaches are getting. I mean, I'll have to look up some of their things, but for his last year, for Texas A&M's 8 wins, man, that's a lot of money per win. And here's the thing and once again, because of its popularity, NCAA football, the amount of money in contracts, in TV contracts, and here comes two things that I think are the bad part of this. None of the money is coming to the student athletes. I'm not there to see Nick Saban. I could care less. I think Lane Kiffin's hilarious. I don't need to see him paid $20 million to coach a football team and have student athletes not get any. I have enough of listen, and I'm standing up on a soapbox right now. I'm tired of listening to Brian Kelly and Nick Saban and whatever other coach you wanna throw up on there of just coming out and verbiage all the time of we can't do this and you can't have a transfer portal. The kids are misusing it. They're doing all this stuff. Okay. So I would love just to sit. So you can't. And all these TV networks know they can't sit there and have a point on point with them because they'll stop doing it and then they're not making their money. The student athletes shouldn't have a choice. Well, yeah, they should because coaches have a choice. If Nick Saban tomorrow said, you know what, some of the people on the board at Alabama, I don't like them. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm going to retire. No, I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to retire. I'm going to go to somewhere. I don't even care. I can't do that because I don't want to make Brian Kelly mad because I kind of like Brian Kelly. And I don't dislike Nick Saban. I don't dislike Nick Saban as a coach. I don't even dislike Nick Saban as a human being. I dislike what Nick Saban thinks that he can say because he's, in the last 6 years, he's won a lot of football games. And that he can be an expert on college athletes' psyche and what they should do and shouldn't do, and business people and what they should, and politicians, what they can do and what they can't do. You're a football coach who happens to be really good at it, and you've taken that and your ability to get players to come to Alabama who have the best of everything, and you make them winners as football players. And you make them winners as football players in the NFL. That doesn't make you what you think you are. And for all the people out there that think that I am not an Iowa Hawkeye fan, I've said this all along. I'm not an Iowa Hawkeye fan when they play Iowa State. That's it. I love how Kirk Ferentz does all of his stuff. Kirk Ferentz is not in coaching for the money. Does he make a lot of money? Absolutely. Now, his blind side is the fact that he manipulated the University of Iowa to get his son on his coaching staff, and that's hurt him. Other than that, players graduating, have they had some hiccups? Everybody's going to have some hiccups. And I'm not saying all student-athletes are saints. They're not. No, just everybody in general, we're not. Kirk Ferentz doesn't hold the holier-than-thou on some of these items like Nick Saban and Brian Kelly and some of these guys and some of the basketball. It drives me crazy. You can't be standing on a podium saying that name, image, and likeness wasn't what it was supposed to be. You didn't want it at all. And the fact that it changed over time and people did that, you don't like it because student-athletes now have a say. That doesn't make it wrong. What it does is you can't put a lot of trust in either side, so you have to have somebody in the middle to be able to control. Because I believe in the long run, and I'm going to hold right there, because this is what I believe is going to happen with the NCAA, at least in football. It's harder to do in basketball because in football, the way they have football set up, it is not affected. It doesn't affect. It's the bigger teams that are always in a place where they want to be. That doesn't happen in the NCAA tournament a lot of different times. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I apologize. Just aggravated. You are listening. We bring you sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I got a little bit more. We got baseball to talk about, NFL to talk about, all kinds of the state fair. I've been out. I took a look. It's going to be awesome. Happy Tuesday, everybody. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all joined in progress. So as soon as this show gets over, we go through our top of the hour advertising that's going to go right into the game. They're playing the Tigers. The Tigers are 49-62. The Twins are 59-54. They have six games with the Tigers in the next week and a half. You win all those games, you start getting closer and closer to winning this, because we are at 113 games, so you're going to be at 120. That leaves 42 games left after these Tiger games here. They also play the Phillies in between, so it's a good chance for the Minnesota Twins to make up some ground here. I'm going to do the next one the next hour. I want to say that. So once again, tomorrow, Broadlawn's marketing team, their marketing director, Melissa Merrifield, and their marketing assistant, Nate Steenblock, and whoever else they want to bring in tomorrow, are going to come in tomorrow and talk on Steen on Sports with Scott and I. Looking forward to that. Already had a Brooks Reynolds coming in when we are at the fair on Thursday. So very excited about that. Randy Wehofer in on Wednesdays as well. So excited about this. I had a couple of texts, not mean texts, but just, hey, just FYI, on U.S. Women's National Team. I don't think there was anybody out there that was saying the U.S. Women's National Team was going to win the cup. I really don't. And maybe they were. Maybe people in this country were. I don't think I heard that. There are a lot of really good teams out there. Younger, faster, stronger. Everything that we used to be, now people are more than. So it is, I get that. I understand that. It was expectations, and I think what everybody, if you read all the tea leaves are out there, all the people that were on social media, it was two things, and I don't like the wording of the one. One of the wordings was arrogance. I don't think that's arrogance. I think when you have brought a sport from nobody even knowing it exists to what they have, I don't think that's arrogant. And this brings me back to, you know, I'm 57. This brings you back to like fifth. Well, they just think they're better than everybody or that, you know, that type of thing. You know what? To be an elite athlete, if you don't think that, I don't think you can. I do not believe that you can be an elite athlete and not think that you're better than everybody. And that's why I've never been an elite athlete, because I've never had that thought. I've never had that work ethic at that. I've never had, I didn't have the ability, I didn't have the work ethic, and I didn't have the heart. Now, there were times I poured everything that I had out there. But it wasn't like, and if Scott was here, his first words that he remembers me saying, practice. Have you ever been to a baseball practice? Most worthless practice you can ever have. Horrible thing to say to a bunch of 10-year-olds. But it's true. It's hard. It's hard to run it's easy to run a baseball practice up to a certain extent. But then when you have to do batting practice and you have to do all that, it's very difficult. I'm assuming the same is true with soccer and all that. But getting back to where we were. I don't think it was arrogance. I don't think it was any of that. I think that the amount of great players that we had on that team for the past 20 years, we have allowed them to continue on for that long without bringing in enough new and give them an equal opportunity to take spots. Because to replace some of them, I think you would have to be above and beyond what that person was, even though they're probably 4 years over what they should be. It was just their overall ability that they have done for the United States women's soccer team that you have to be four times, five times as good to get that spot. And I think that hurt the program. Last year, we struggled goaltending. I don't think that was an issue this year. We just couldn't score. We couldn't score effectively in situations where in the past they were easy goals. And they were just missed. And we used to be dominating on penalty kicks, and we are not dominating on penalty kicks anymore. So, you know, it's a different time, and it's a different age group, and we're going to see what happens. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that there are not enough young women in this country who want to play for the U.S. Women's National Team and be able to compete at a high level. I don't believe that at all. I don't think the cupboard's bare. I just think nobody wanted to look in the cupboard because it didn't want to check to see if the food was out of date. And because it was, but you don't want to throw it away. And that's what happened. And that's the type of thing that does. And it'll change now. And I think we'll be right back up there where we were. I think you need new leadership. I think you need new leadership all the time. Especially with all-star teams like this. There's only so much that they can continue to listen to if you're not unbeatable and unbearable, you're gonna lose their attention span. and you can't have that happen. But I'm not. It was a great run, and I'm not diminishing that great run. The other thing, had a couple of texts. It maybe the SEC is just better. That was the text. I'm giving you that as it stands right now. I think three of the top five teams coming into the football season this coming year are Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. They're going to be really good, as they always are. And when you throw in USC and UCLA, that gives you one more. That's going to be difficult. It comes down to some of the other teams that they have to play. The SEC doesn't play as tough a schedule. People like to rip on the Big 12. There's no easy Big 12 games. Does that mean that all the Big 12 teams are good? No, but it means when they go into a hostile environment and in any of these places, they're hard games. I don't think Alabama cares when they go to Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina. Tennessee probably has a Vanderbilt. They don't care. They know they're going to win. Arkansas, Mississippi, Ole Miss. I love Ole Miss. It's Lane Kiffin. He can beat anybody, and he can lose you three games like nobody. It's going to be fun. One of the others, and we're going to talk about this at the top of the hour, Big Ten, or not Big Ten, but the NCAA Top 25 came out today. I think this is a huge, I think they were two out of the top 25, the University of Iowa. I think that's Boulder Dash. That's my nice term for not saying term I can't. With their defense and field goal kicker, and the hopeful ability of Cade McNamara and their schedule, which is that team is going to be in the top 25. You're just not going to be able to keep them out because they're just not playing anybody. I mean, they'll be an underdog in two games. We'll check that. I don't even know if they're going to be an underdog in two games. Now, you still have to over, even with Cade McNamara there, if they don't open up the playbook that fits Cade McNamara's way of doing things, and when you're in practice and you're doing it, it doesn't matter. Sometimes, you know, I've had people on for Iowa State and they're like, you know what, in practice, man, this offensive line looks really, really good, until they play people they don't know, and they don't know all their things they like to do and not like to do, and then they don't look so good. You don't know what Iowa's offensive line is going to be like. I guarantee you don't know what Iowa State's offensive line is going to be, because this is a totally different offensive style, coaching, everything. This is a mauling offensive line. And the University of Iowa's offensive line is a awesome technique and huge, huge men blocking. They just have to take advantage of it with play calling. And this is a good thing, as arrogant and cocky as McNamara is, I think he has the ability to do that. And I love that. That wasn't the reason that he lost his job at Michigan. I mean, the team followed him, and you can see the Iowa team follows him. Still have to work through an offensive scheme and not have something that people can pick up on film and use against you the following week. Okay, we got some NFL. I'm going to go over some of the stuff that Scott and I did on Thursday with some win totals, with stuff that happened this weekend. I've got baseball to talk about. We have more NCAA to talk about. Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700 Champ. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great day. It's not Tuesday. My goodness, where is my brain today? It's been a Monday day. It is Monday. That is why we are here. That's why Scott's not sitting across from me. Wow. State Fair has me so excited I can't even think straight. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can always check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right after the show. So as soon as we get through our top of the hour break, you're going to go right into live Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins and Phillies, you're going to go live on Friday right after my show. And then they play Saturday, Sunday. But on Sunday, you get Chiefs and Saints preseason game at 11 o'clock. And next Tuesday, Wednesday is the Minnesota Twins and the Tigers as well. So a lot of Minnesota Twins. They have a really good shot here of beefing up on their lead. Right now, they are 4.5 games up. They're on a 4-game win streak. They're 4.5 up on Cleveland and 9 on the Detroit Tigers. That's who they're playing. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm assuming 6. They may not have just put Wednesday on there. 6 games with the Tigers, 3 away, 3 home over the next 10 days. And that could take care of the Tigers. So they've been winning games they're supposed to be winning. And Cleveland has been losing games. So that helps. Let's see here. We have Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, and card access and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for all the excitement for this outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. The way things have been for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, heat, humidity, cool, rain, heat, humidity, cool, rain, having controls so you don't have to be on site and you can see what things are doing is one of the most important things in property management. So Woodman Controls does a great job in helping you facilitate that. Okay. Trying to get some of this stuff out of the way. I had so many different things to talk about today. This was one of the polls that were out today. I'm giving them credit. It was Murph and Andy. I liked the poll, so I'm going to say what it was and give them what they had gone through so far. Which of these schools, if the Big 12 were to add to, which pair would you pick? Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, Cal, UConn, Gonzaga, or hold at 16? Now, that poll does not match what mine. If I had to do that, I think that we are pretty solid in football, and I think we're going to be pretty outstanding in basketball from what I'm seeing. I think grabbing UConn and Gonzaga and getting ahead of others before they start thinking outside the box. I think Brett Yormark is going to think outside the box on this. I think if he takes a couple more teams, the payout's not the same. Probably between the two of them, they might be able to get up to, you know, probably 15.5 and 15.5 to get you to the 31, and you add two teams, but, you know, basketball-wise. Stanford, Cal don't fit. I don't think that you should ever just say, hey, I'm going to hold at 16 because I think others are not. I think if you can get to 18 and 20, you're set. And here's the other thing that I think Brett will do. I think everything that everybody's signing to stay on and doing all these things are ironclad and you're not getting out of them. Unless somebody from the NCAA can break it up because they start taking over and start actually being in charge of the NCAA athletics, which I don't think is ever going to happen. I think the exact opposite is going to happen. Stanford and Cal don't fit, and I don't think Oregon State and Washington State bring enough in either sport. And I'm sorry that I didn't add wrestling and I didn't add Olympic sports, but men's and women's basketball, men's football, that's where you have to score. You get UConn and you get Gonzaga and you get those basketball programs, that's a big deal. We are already stacked. It's fun just thinking what some of the Big 12 basketball that you're going to see this year. It's going to be quite exciting. Here's one of the things, and I think this is for all schools. And Matt Campbell takes a lot of hit for this. Matt Campbell talks a lot about five-star culture, not five-star athletes. And when you here's what happens, and here's it's going to be a little negativity here to a certain extent. Here's what happens when you always talk about having a five-star culture. That when things don't go well, i.e., not the greatest football season that we've ever had before, then you find out if you really had a five-star culture. And you probably seen from some of the words that are out there, some of the complaints that were out there, some of the restlessness with fan base and everybody else. Well, maybe you have a four-star culture when you have a losing season and you need to figure out how you can return to a five-star culture when you're winning as well. That's the important thing. You have to be able to maintain. You need to maintain the culture that you have through wins, through losses, through tough wins, great wins, tough losses. You know, you have to be able to do that. And that is one of the things. And every time somebody comes out and says something like that, that's what happens. Is it okay for Matt Campbell to want to have a five-star culture that everybody feels that they have a say and a part and a belief and all of that? And I want that. I wanted that for my kids when they went to Iowa State. I want them to be at a five-star culture, and they loved everything about their experience at Iowa State. Academically, everything. Now, as a dad of an athlete, I would want that same thing. I want him to have a five-star culture. If you're getting paid over $5 million a year, then you would think that your culture should be pretty good. Do I think you have to have a five-star culture to win football games or to win at sports? No. But I think you also can see what happens when you don't, and you have things that happened at, let's say, a Northwestern, that when you're winning, they go away. When you're not winning, when you're 1-11 or 2-10, they come back. And that's Matt Campbell's biggest thing. You know, we were complaining about being 500 or above and being bowl eligible. Well, what happens when you do that enough times that you're complaining about it? Then you have a season like we had last year. And the only thing, and the reason that I still think it's okay to talk about a five-star culture at times is last year changed things and he made changes. That had to happen. And folks, it wasn't easy because what happened were people that he was close to. But if you tout a five-star culture, it's not about friendships, it's not about loyalty, it's not about years of experience. It is, how can you help my team continue on at this culture that I need? My issues I have, not having a special teams coach. How can you have a five-star culture if you're missing a coach? How can you have a five-star culture when people were disgruntled with offensive play calling? And I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about people inside the program. We do know that people inside the program, even though they may not speak into newspapers or into radios so they can be heard, they still get the word out. That's how you know you have a five-star culture, when you can say stuff like that and be upset with something in the program and be able to rectify it and make it better. That's a five-star culture. A five-star culture in sports is not you have to do every single thing that the coach is saying. It's my way or the highway. That's not a five-star culture. That's a two-star culture or a one-star culture, the star being the coach. That's the 70s and 80s. This isn't it. And the same thing is true at the University of Iowa. When you have, and I think people overblown the doubts from the football team with Brian Ferentz and the offense and all of that. I think that was well overdone. I don't think that's the only reason. A lot of times when Iowa was defeated last year, they just didn't play very well. That's an everybody thing. That's not a Brian Ferentz thing alone. Now, the number of points scored, yeah, that's damaging. But it's okay. That's not what breaks the culture. What breaks the culture is people who are trying to undermine the culture, and they keep getting away with it and keep doing it. Somebody asked me my true thoughts about Northwestern. And I said, I don't have any idea if the coaching staff knew or didn't know what was going on. But the simple fact that if they didn't know, they didn't have a culture that is good for a student athlete in an NCAA. Plain and simple. I'm not saying it was all their fault, but the fact that you didn't know what was happening shows that you don't have a good enough culture to compete. And I'm not saying that the coaches would have been the ones that should have seen or knew or something. But if you had a good enough culture, people in that locker room knowing that it was happening, student athletes, student trainers, and student just non-athletic people in that room, if you had a great culture, would have had the feeling that they could come forward and say something about things that were going on that weren't right, but they didn't because it wasn't there. And that's not easy to do. I come from a basketball background. Man, I got 14 kids. I can see 14 kids every single day for as long as I want. If I want to make sure that my 14 student athletes are doing what they're supposed to be doing on the homework, I can have them come down to the facility. And folks, the facilities are really, really nice. And I can sit there and I can watch them. Now, if you have to sit there and you have to watch them, I'm not sure that you have a five-star culture. Because I think I have a five-star culture if the student athletes were taking care of that themselves. Then I think I have that culture that I need. I think that we take that five-star culture as thinking, well, as long as they are doing things that Matt Campbell wants to be done, then that's a five-star culture because he cares and he wants to do. Everybody has to buy in. Here's where the culture comes in. You have to have at least the top third buy in because that's who everybody on the bottom two-thirds looks to. And I love this one too. And as a parent, I probably would say this, but as coached at a very low, low level, if you don't have a group of young men that can control a locker room by themselves, you probably are going to struggle. You have to have that one guy or two guys or three guys. That's in basketball, wrestling, women's basketball. You have to have that core group, that little core group. When you're talking about 120 kids on a football team, that core group's got to be pretty big. And the other thing, coming from the 50s all the way up to now, it's always been by juniors and seniors. Hey, guess what? You can have student leaders that are freshmen and sophomores. You know, as a coach, you know. You've recruited these kids. You know who can lead and who cannot lead. You know who's probably going to cause you trouble. But when you weighted on a scale, it was better than not taking him. But I gosh darn can almost guarantee you that he wasn't one of those people that he would trust in a room to make sure everything was going okay. It wouldn't be the person he would leave in charge, and he wouldn't be the person that he goes to find out what's going on in the locker room. You gotta have those kids. That's what coaches are looking for. Listen, I Kirk Ferentz, Nick Saban, some of these, I mean, even Brian Kelly's getting up in years. Man, once you get to that point, I mean, I'm 57 now, and I see some of the things that are going on at lower levels, and I'm like, man, that would be tough. You know, just with the kids was tough. I, in my experience, I had more issues with parents than I did with kids. It's important. And once again, this is all I've talked about in these first four segments is a lack of internal leadership from the NCAA. That's the brunt of the problem. And they're also the obstacle in getting the problem fixed. There's people out there that can fix it. Some people may not like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders can fix stuff. Does everybody like the way he does it? Nope. But man, it sure looks like his players like to play for him. Nick Saban does it a 180 from that. And it sure looks like those players like to do that. I used to think Jimbo Fisher had everything, had it all. And I think losing football games has taken some of that away. He needs to see if he can find that again. It's really funny when that happens. I think that's why Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. There was only a certain percentage that he could get to have everybody buy in. At LSU, you have a lot more things you can use as buy-ins than you did at Notre Dame. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. A little NFL. Hope everybody had a good Monday. I don't know if that's possible, but I hope you did. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. And Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. I will put up Friday's show and tonight's show. I'll do that tonight when I get home. So you'll have both of those up. We are here Tuesday, Wednesday, at the fair on Thursday, and off on Friday. We'll be back in next week on Monday, at the fair on Tuesday, here on Wednesday, at the fair on Thursday, and I'm off on Friday again. Couple of Friday fair times with the family. So if you haven't heard, I am a huge Iowa State Fair person. This is my first year that I have to go to the Iowa State Fair and be somewhat heart healthy and conscious or unconscious. I don't know which one that's going to work because there's a lot of stuff out there that I enjoy doing. The sponsor for this segment is Heritage Building Maintenance, providing quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense of proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about the cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of our program. Okay. I got a couple of things I want to talk about. Here's my first one. This is 24/7 sports and kind of takes a little bit of CBS, a little bit of 24/7 sports. And it brought up the first coaches poll in the NCAA for the year. And I want to nitpick a little bit, because I think this is kind of funny, but I'm going to read you the top five. The top five are Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, and LSU. If you go to the top 10, you have USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, and Tennessee. Here's my issue. I have a hard time finding a way for a coaches poll top 10 to have Georgia and LSU and Tennessee all there. I just don't think you can get all three of them in there. they're not looking, they're looking at how powerful these teams are, but not the simple fact that they each have a couple of games that is going to be, you have Florida State and you have Clemson and you have North Carolina. And then if you do Big Ten, you have Michigan, you have Ohio State, you have Penn State, you have Wisconsin. Getting four teams from the Big Ten in when you're not counting Iowa, I don't know if you can do that. It just, it seems awkward. Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and TCU, four Big 12 teams. I think that's difficult. I just think that's difficult to do. I think it's also a very long leap for Texas and Oklahoma to be 12 and 19 from the way that they've played the last couple of years. TCU has to, and I get it, you can do that. Max Duggan, that's a huge piece. And then you have Ole Miss. Oh, you have K-State in there too. So you have TCU, K-State, Texas Tech. See that? And Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, TCU, K-State, and Texas Tech. There's no way you're getting five Big 12 teams in the top 25. That's too tough of games. Somewhere you have to go on the road and you have to play those games. And if you have two losses, you're not going to be as far up in this coach's poll as what people think are. That's why I don't like preseason bowls or polls. All five bowls with Pac-12 tie-ins. Alamo, Las Vegas, Holiday, Sun, and LA Bowl have been in discussions about changing to different conferences affiliations for the 2024 and 2025 season. Yes, you have to do that. There is no Pac-12, and you don't have ties with the teams that are left in the Pac-12 if they combine conferences. Your distinction of being a Pac-12 tie-in is now defunct after this year. I can't believe they wrote an article about that. Now, this is... I'm not even, I don't like that website. I can't tell you because my Twitter site. I like this one today. It said, who deserves more blame for the demise of the Pac-12, Larry Scott or George Kolivnikov? And it said, is it one or the other? And I'm like, I think it's both. I think Larry Scott missed an opportunity to build himself a conference that geographically worked better and would have kept the Pac-12. The minute that the SEC took Oklahoma and Texas, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 should have combined and started ramping up what they need to do. And I would have ramped up and been either a different conference or a Big 12 conference because your TV rights deals were coming up quicker. The Pac-12 still has like 15 years left on their deal. I don't know. And this was the biggest one that I saw today, that it goes into the top 25. Georgia has a new quarterback. They don't have their same quarterback that's led them to a lot of wins. Michigan has to keep J.J. McCarthy healthy. Alabama has a new quarterback. Ohio State has a new quarterback. LSU is lacking depth. USC is lacking a defense. Penn State has a new quarterback. Florida State, who shouldn't be there anyway, is low on special teams and low on secondary depth. Clemson has a new quarterback, and Tennessee has a new quarterback. So all these teams are ranked in the AP coaches poll, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, 6 out of 10, have new quarterbacks. That would be unheard of 10 years ago. to have a team with a brand new quarterback coming in being on top of a poll. I just don't understand. Scott and I did a lot of we did the whole NFL, and we did up and downs, and I got hit on a few of these. I took a huge hit on Buffalo Bill fans. They were very cranky with me. I don't like your coach. I love your players. I'm a Josh Allen fan. Josh Allen isn't one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. Now, I don't know if that's completely his fault. He's had two different offensive coordinators now. He lost his one. I mean, losing Brian Daboll last year showed what can happen if you kind of let Josh Allen go without reins on. I went under on the Miami Dolphins based solely on not thinking that Tua can play that many games. I don't know if he can play 17 games. And I think 9.5, it's not that it's a big number. I think 10.5 for the Buffalo Bills is a huge number. That means you have to have 11 wins. And that's a lot in this league with some of the way that you played towards the end of the year last year. Cincinnati, both Scott and I went under because you don't know what's going to happen with Joe Burrow. Now I get hurting your calf or hurting your lower extremity on your leg is probably not as big a deal as some of the other things, but his ability to get out of people's way, not by scrambling, but just by maneuverability, I don't know. I went down on the Cincinnati Bengals and I went up on everybody else in that one. So I'm going to be wrong on some of those. I heard a lot of people today not putting in enough stock on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They think that, well, the rest of the conference is going to be better. Do you really think Tennessee is going to be better? Derrick Henry's a year older. Ryan Tannehill, an older wide receiver. I don't know. I think there's a better chance of Houston Texans going over 6.5 than there is for the Tennessee Titans to go over 7.5. Because I like the coaching staff at the Houston Texans, and I like some of the players. I think. Caleb Stroud's going to be a very good quarterback. I think Bryant Young's going to be a very good quarterback. And I think the Carolina Panthers may be the most underrated team in here. after thinking about this weekend, this is the one that I took a lot of heat on. I think the Denver Broncos are going to be better because I think Sean Payton makes that big a difference. If you're not a Sean Payton fan, you're thinking the Denver Broncos are going to be trash. I just can't see that Sean Payton came back and went to the place he wanted to go, and he doesn't think that he can win 8.5 games. Kansas City has to stay healthy. And once again, the thing that I love the most about the Kansas City Chiefs, besides their big time, and they're going to bring Frank Clark back. He's going to get paid money. He didn't want to be at training camp anyway. Here's the thing that's going to change the world. This year, if Kansas City can go back and repeat and do this again, that they don't have to spend money. Now, they spent money at quarterback, but he's not even in the top 10 right now. They spend money at tight end. Yep. And they spent money on their offensive and defensive lines. Yep. And everywhere else on the field, they bring people in first year, second year, lower income stream, and get them to perform in the defensive and linebackers in your secondary and on offensive weapons besides tight end. It's gonna change teams. If you want to know, if you're Saquon Barkley and you're Jacobs from the Vegas Raiders, you want to know who to blame that running backs aren't getting paid? Andy Reid. Not the league, not the owners, Andy Reid. He's telling people in this league that if you have a quarterback and you have weapons that you can scheme open, you can win football games. You don't have to pay as much money out. You know what they paid? They paid their offensive and defensive line. And Frank Clark isn't one of them right now, but he's asking for a lot of money. I don't know. And I like Frank Clark, but I don't think he's worth that much money. The Philadelphia Eagles. I got 2 minutes left here. I'm going to talk about a couple more. The Philadelphia Eagles, a picture this weekend of a practice in their stadium. And it looked like it was a concert, the biggest concert you've ever seen. It was practice. I think there are two surprise teams, maybe three, in the NFC. And I think they're all in the NFC South, which isn't saying much. Because all of them, I think, are going to get two wins against Tampa Bay, because I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be very good. And I think you could probably get, you know, I think you can probably, the Atlanta Falcons have a lot of talent. It just depends on what Desmond Ridder can do. The Carolina Panthers have a lot of talent, and they got to have their quarterback young. He has to be able to perform. And everybody that's watching in training camp and said that he was too small to play in the NFL and he's not going to be able to see receivers and you're not going to be able to throw, dude throws a beautiful ball. And the New Orleans Saints, say what you want about Derek Carr. He gives them quarterback play. They have talent. They have weapons. I love that. And this is the other one. If I had to bet, and this is for my brother from another mother, Jamie Gipple, if I had to bet money on something, I would bet the Steelers over 9. I think Mike Tomlin's happy. I think he's happy with Kenny Pickett. I think he's happy on not having quarterback controversy or Ben Roethlisberger or issues like that. Nobody's talking about him. Nobody think they just don't finish under 500 ever. I don't know how you compete against that. I really don't. I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see what all happens. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I got some potpourri, a lot of cool things, little quick ones, and we'll end this Monday. I got one segment left. Come back in. Monday, everybody, you are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. Twins, Tigers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll start there. Big series, need wins. Away games, you got to get some victories while you're out there. If we do that, we're going to win this division. And as a Minnesota Twins affiliate, we are extremely happy about that. We're also extremely happy to have Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance be a part of our program, sponsor our program, and let us have the ability to get to talk about them and the things that they bring. And we're really excited about that. We're really excited about this week. Tomorrow, Melissa Merrifield and Nate Steenblok coming in with Broadlawn's Medical Center. Very excited to talk about new things with both of them. Really, really excited. Wednesday, as always, I do believe we have Randy Wehofer coming in. We've given him carte blanche to come in at 4 or at 5 or both, or he can do whatever he can do whatever he wants to do. So, we also, on Thursday are, going to be, as far as we know, 90% or more. Yes. We are going to be live at the Iowa State Fair, admin building West Side, right by, Gizmo Place, I do believe. It's Grinder Gizmo. That's my favorite, and it's right there by Cumulus Studios. Restrooms are right there, and the first aid station is right there. Everything you need is right there. Come see Scott and I, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Come out and see us. Thursday, we're off on Friday. It's first Friday of the fair. I'm an East Sider. That is East Sider Day. I got to go. You have to be there. It's part of the charm of the Iowa State Fair for us. Next Monday, I'll be in here. Next Tuesday, we are live at the fair again. We have Brooks Reynolds coming in on Thursday. We'll have, hopefully, the chairman of the state fair will be in. That's how we usually like to do things. And then pull as many people in as we can on the days we're out there. Wednesday, we'll be back here. Thursday, we will be back at the state fair. I'm off on Friday, so we can enjoy those last two. And, folks, once that happens, you know what that states right there. When the fair ends, school starts, football starts, and then we have 2 hours a day, 10 hours a week to talk college and professional football. Cannot wait. Okay, so I told you I'd have some potpourri to go through today. And I really like this, and I think this is a tragedy in baseball. Two players hit 300 home runs in the 80s. You're looking at them. Only one is in the Hall of Fame, and both should be. The one on the one picture is Mike Schmidt, probably the greatest third baseman. We had this discussion this over playing golf at For the Kids, which we had a great time. Once again, thank you to the Young family for inviting us. We had a blast. On the other side is Dale Murphy with the Atlanta Braves. Difference being Atlanta Braves back then weren't winning very many baseball games, so Dale Murphy's value didn't live up to everybody, but that is redonkulous that he's not in the Hall of Fame. So just going through some of this stuff, I talked about the coaches poll. If you didn't see over the weekend, on a bang-bang play, Jose Ramirez slid into second base, him and Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson probably started it because he just kind of stood over him. They kind of looked at each other. They pushed each other. Then they dropped gloves. And I think it's funny because Tim Anderson was ready to fight, and people were holding him, and Jose Ramirez just swung his arm around and knocked him out. Pretty embarrassing for Tim Anderson, actually. Feel bad for the kid. I talked about the Eagles practice. It was crazy how many people were there. Okay. Here's a really funny thing. I don't know what people think of Colin Cowherd. I like the way he does things. I like to listen to him. He's a pro's pro in how he does things. He put in no doubters for future Hall of Famers. I can't wait to get Scott's opinion on these. I'll give you some of mine. I'm going to kind of go back and forth here. Justin Tucker, kicker for the Baltimore Ravens. Greatest kicker in NFL history. More game-winning field goals from outrageous and horrific weather. I think that's a no-brainer. Jason Kelce, center for the Philadelphia Eagles, changed the position. He is just as athletic, just bigger than his brother Travis Kelce, who is on this list as well. Not that he changed I always thought my favorite tight end to watch was Kellen Winslow with the Chargers. All around, he's not a good route runner and probably doesn't have as good a hands. A great blocker, though, but Travis Kelce's on there. Trent Williams with the San Francisco 49ers, he's a left tackle. He just doesn't let his quarterbacks be touched. Bobby Wagner, linebacker, Seattle. Totally agree. Von Miller, edge rusher with the Bills. I agree for his career. Edge rusher, Myles Garrett, dominating. And defensive line, Aaron Darnold, might be the best of all time. And that's saying an awful lot. And that's putting him above Reggie White, which it's tough to do, but man, is he good. Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are the other two. I don't see how they cannot be or won't be. Aaron Rodgers on the tail end of his career. Patrick Mahomes just getting ready. I don't know what to say about, I mean, Has he won as many big games as maybe you want on the greatest of all time? But he's got to be in that conversation of quarterbacks. He's never at the tippy top, but he's always pretty close. I thought that was a really good list, and I tried to think of some others. And you have to, you know, I had some running backs I thought about, but I don't think there's going to be another running back that makes the Hall of Fame. It's not a position that. Listen, I'm telling you, if Kansas City wins 12 games again this year and they have no names playing at wide receiver and running back, the running back and wide receiver positions are going to change. There's nothing else you can do. Three very young quarterbacks. I think all three have really big chances of being an NFL quality starter, and you have to start one, bench one, cut one. If I was going off and not knowing what team they were on, I would go Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder. The fact that I have to go on the teams that they are on and their ability to play, I'm going Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, and Desmond Ridder. But I thought that was a very interesting thing. Okay, so one of the things, and this is something that has come up a lot today if you were listening to all the shows, the distances of air travel times for Arizona and Arizona State in the Pac-12 instead of being in the Pac-12. In the Pac-12, without LA schools, their air travel time was 2 hours and 52 minutes. In the Big 12, all schools, their travel time is 3 hours and 27 minutes. That is 35 minutes more airtime. It's like, come on, folks. You're overblowing the where you're not overblowing all of this is women's softball, women's gymnastics, men's wrestling. I can't say men and women's basketball. I think that's overblown on having people on one side of the country and the other side. I am not a big fan of that. Some of the most active people during the trading deadline, the Mets, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, and the Angels. Very, very active, all four of them, all four since the trade deadline, which was right after the All-Star break, they're all 0-6. That is crazy. This one, and I did this, and I'm waiting to do this without looking at my list. It said, how would you see these four teams finishing in the AFC East? I still think I have Miami winning. I still think I have Buffalo and the Jets maybe with the same record, and I think the New England Patriots are in trouble. And I think all of us saying that the New England Patriots are in trouble, Bill Belichick will probably get the last laugh, but he has no talent, outstanding talent. His defense is really good, but there's football players. There are NFL football players on that offense. There are no all pros. There are none. I don't know how you get away with doing that. So I appreciate y'all being in today on this Monday. It was a beautiful day out. Enjoy the rest of your night. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott coming in here tomorrow. Get ready for it. We're at the fair on Thursday. We're off on Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans.